CNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. My name is Mark Kent, and I am your host as usual. Today is Sunday, February 2nd, 2014. Is time flying by. Let's see. I'm in the studio here with my sister, Linda.
Good morning.
And yesterday, she turned how old?
23.
You got a good answer, Gary.
23 again. For the, what is that, what anniversary of, what is like the 27th anniversary or 23rd birthday party?
Yeah, something like that.
Anyway, and we also have in the studio with us Gary, Moore. Oh, okay, very good. Gary Moore is going to be talking to us about the Veterans Museum, I'm assuming?
Veterans Home.
The Veterans Home. Oh,
yes,
I'm sorry.
Yes, he's going to give us a good update on the Veterans Home, what's going on, and all kinds of different stuff.
There you
stuff.
Go. It shows you how much I'm out of
about
the loop.
About the residents. Good stuff, yeah.
We also
get
have
in
Bob.
The loop.
Okay, I'm in the loop now. We have Bob Martin with us as well, producing today. Good morning,
good
Bob.
Good morning, Mark. Good to have you on Sundays now.
Very good. Yeah, we made the switch over. I'm thinking I'm liking this sleeping in thing already. You know, yesterday was like, wow, it's Saturday morning. I haven't gotten out of bed that late in 4 years.
Well, after the big party last night, it was nice. I mean, we went to the Veterans Museum.
That's dinner. That's why I was thinking
Veterans
Museum.
And it was great.
Museum.
So we were actually late for us old people.
I won a shotgun. How good is that?
Great.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah,
we had some residents out there in attendance. I think we had five or six of them at a table.
Very good. Okay, let's get through. We'll do some housekeeping here.
By the way, if anyone's looking for Don Shulman, he'll be along at 11 o'clock
okay.
this morning.
Yeah, Don is an hour later. Let's see. We are streaming worldwide. This is KCNR1460.com or KCNR1460. You can go to 1460.com, KCNR1460.com, or call in at 530-605-4567. All of our shows are podcast and archived as well. And you can friend me on Facebook at Mark E. Kent, middle initial E, Kent. And that is the best place to get a lot of the information that I put out there as far as news stories and so forth. The quote of the day is a lengthy one, but excuse me, I couldn't resist it. The term propaganda rings melodramatic and exaggerated, but a press that, whether from fear, careerism, or conviction, uncritically recites false government claims and reports them as facts, or treats elected officials with the reverence reserved for royalty, cannot be accurately described as engaging in any other function. That's Glenn Greenwald. Talking
wow.
propaganda. Let's see. Veterans events?
I don't have any veterans events. We're going to be covering a lot with the Veterans Home, so that takes care of that. But okay. I do want to bring up the fundraiser that we're going to have in March.
Well, bring it up.
All right. On March 8th at Wind River, we're going to be doing a fundraiser for We the People and Sovereign Minds. And we're going to have a lot of guns. And what the fundraiser is for is to support both radio programs for a year. And so if we can get everybody's support like they did last year, it was great.
Yep.
It helps us keep both programs on the air and get the information out and the truth about what's going on in our community and worldwide. So
come on out and help support us on the radio station. We're the news that gives you news that you don't see on the news.
And you could win a gun or two.
Absolutely. If you like guns. Speaking of which, I have a letter here from that I'd like to read, and this is from a Marine. This is from Major L. Cadill. I guess that's how you pronounce it. USMC retired, and it's about the gun is civilization, and he's saying that we can't have a good civilization without guns. And let's read the letter, and you'll see his reasoning. excuse me. Human beings have only two ways to deal with one another, reason and force. If you want me, if you want me to do something for you, you have a choice of either convincing me via argument or force me to do your bidding under the threat of force. Every human interaction falls into one of those two categories without exception. Reason or force, that's it. In a truly moral and civilized society, people exclusively interact through persuasion. Force has no place as a method of social interaction, and the only thing that removes force from the menu is the personal firearm, as paradoxical as that may sound to some. When I carry a gun, you cannot deal with me by force. You have to use reason and try to persuade me because I have a way to negate your threat of employment of force. Excuse me. The gun is the only personal weapon that puts a 100-pound woman on equal footing with a 200-pound mugger, a 75-year-old retiree on an equal footing with a 19-year-old gangbanger, and a single guy on an equal footing with a carload of drunk guys with baseball bats. The gun removes the disparity in physical strength, size, and numbers between potential attackers and a defender. There are many people who consider the gun as a source of bad force equations. These are the people who think that we'd be more civilized if all guns were removed from society. Because a firearm makes it easier for an armed mugger to do his job. That is, of course, only true if the mugger's potential victim is all mostly disarmed. Either by choice or by legislative fiat, it has no validity when most of the mugger's potential marks are armed. People who argue for banning arms ask for the automatic rule by young, strong, the many, and the exact opposite of a civilized society. A mugger, even an armed one, can only make a successful living in society where the state has granted him force monopoly. Then there's the argument that the gun, that gun makes confrontations lethal that otherwise would result only in injury. This argument is fallacious in several ways. Without guns involved, confrontations are won by the physically superior, partly inflicting overwhelming injury on the loser. People who think that fists, bats, sticks, and stones don't constitute lethal force watch too much TV. Where people take beatings and come out of it with a bloody lip at worst, the fact that the gun makes lethal force easier works solely in favor of the weaker defender, not the stronger attacker. If both are armed, the field is level. The gun is the only weapon that's as lethal in the hands of an octogenarian as it is in the hands of a weightlifter. It simply would not work as well as a force equalizer if it wasn't both lethal and easily employable. When I carry a gun, I don't do so because I'm looking for a fight, but because I'm looking to be left alone. The gun at my side means that I cannot be forced, only persuaded. I don't carry it because I'm afraid, but because it enables me to be unafraid. It doesn't limit the actions of those who would interact with me through reason, only those who would do so by force. It removes force from the equation, and that is why carrying a gun is a civilized act. Now, I think that's a great little letter.
Not bad.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Yeah. So anyway, that was...
Maybe put that in perspective for some folks out there, that's for sure.
Well, some folks will never get perspective.
Well, there is that. I mean, we can't fix that all the time, but we can try.
Well, let me get a couple of other news, real quick news stories in just to get out there, and then we'll come back with our guest, and then we'll start talking about the veterans' home. The one thing I wanted to talk about was breaking Florida legislation would, or at least get out there and as a news item. New Florida legislation would essentially nullify federal gun laws. So this is in Tallahassee, January 27th. The Florida legislature will consider a bill that would prohibit any state agency from cooperating with enforcement of federal gun laws. Does it seem like the heat's getting turned up a little bit here?
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
It needs to.
The other one that I see here is University of Alaska scientist. Fukushima radiation may be making Alaskan seals sick. Now, you guys might want to do some homework on this stuff because Fukushima is another one of those blackout media things that they don't report propaganda-wise. But I would be very cautious about eating any seafood out of the Pacific right now because it looks like it's a total mess and it still hasn't been solved and it's still getting out of control even more so. So just a word to the wise, be cautious out there. And with that,
we have our guest.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. We have Gary Moore in the studio with us, and he is the PR person for the Veterans Home here in Reading. And to start with, Gary, can you give us just a little bit of background about I guess we have to go to break. I'm sorry, I blew
yeah,
that.
As soon as we come back from the break.
So as soon as we come back, we'll talk to Gary. This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
I'll go find a network won't treat me right. Y'all can take the change and stick it out of sight. Don't tread on me. Don't you tread on me. Hey, are you ready for some good news? We're gonna take back our country. Well, it used to be easy, get a place, build a house. Now the EPA said no, that's the home of the blue mouse. Don't tread on me. Don't you tread on me.
Hi, this is Don Shulman. I'd like to invite you to come along with me on Sundays from 11 to 1. Let's have some fun. Let's talk about things, personal things, things that are happening in your life, things to help improve your life. We don't do politics. We don't do guns. We just do things that are enjoyable. So come along for the ride. We'll all have a good time. Sundays from 11 to 1 on our radio station, Community Radio, KCNR, 1460 AM.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate. Brought to you by Jeterbilt Construction, Megastar Mortgage, Trinity Pest Control, and Sheldon Largent Realty.
What does a tightly wound, very organized psychologist have in common with a freewheeling, unemployed addict? Nothing much, except a New York Times crossword puzzle and a car on the BART train all to themselves. You want to be along for this highly entertaining ride? Two Across by Jerry Mayer, directed by Kay Overbay, featuring Lisa Murphy Collins and Bob Corlick. Now playing at the Riverfront Playhouse. Reserve your tickets now at the Cascade Theater box office, 243-8877, or at cascadetheater.org.
We rock!
Well, Bob, you are irresistible.
Oh, pure and simple.
Naturally the best.
We're Mount Shasta Springwater.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
When I get older, losing my head, many years from now, will you still be sending me a Valentine? Birthday greetings, bottle of wine. If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
There you go, Terry. Happy birthday, buddy.
Uh-oh. I'm a little worried by what might be playing later on for my birthday, if that's for Terry. I'm just saying.
Yeah, we'll have to come up with something good. I don't know. Anyway, that was kind of for you and Terry. So, okay. You know, there you have it. Anyway, let's get to our guest here, Gary.
Okay.
Hello. Yeah.
So before we went to the break, I was saying that maybe you could let the listeners know some of your background.
Sure.
And take it from there, Gary.
I primarily have been in the broadcasting business for about 32 years before I got out of it about 4.5 years ago. And we were talking off air earlier, and this is one of the facilities that I worked in when together with Paul Barth and a bunch of other people put this radio station on the air in 1991. It was K9 FM at the time. And then since then, there's been a lot of changes and stuff like that. So I've got a radio background, a broadcasting background, a voiceover background, internet background, stuff like that, you know, entertainment and things like that.
So then you made a big switch. How did you go from radio to Veterans Home?
I spent 2 years trying to get a job with the state of California primarily for retirement benefits and things like that. And after those 2 years, I finally got into Caltrans as a dispatch communications guy. And I was there for 4 years until I recently, in August, went over to the Veterans Home. They had a public information officer's job position available. I applied, went through the process, was eligible, and here we are.
All right. Yeah. I know that we've talked a little bit out there at the Veterans Home. I actually sit on the support committee out there. That's correct. One of the things that I do. So we started connecting up there. There's a lot of talk going around town. Let's just get this cleared up, I think, right to start with,
okay, sure.
About some of the residents that's gone into the home.
Sure.
And then there's been some that's left. I believe there's been three.
That's correct.
That have been, I don't know if let go is the correct word. But
it's not.
But can you clear that up for us? Like I say, there's a lot of talk going around town, and some of it saying that one veteran, you know, you guys let him in, and then he got kicked out, and he was dropped off on the street, and, you know, homeless. They took everything from him. So I know that the people need to get that cleared
up. Sure, and I will be happy to clear that up. First of all, if there's something that takes place, and you know the story.
Yes, I do.
And then you tell Mike, and then you tell Bob, and then by the time they get to the 10th person down the line.
Who's Mike?
Mike, Mark. Sorry. Mike Quinn, actually. By the time it comes out of your mouth and gets through several other mouths, the story is completely different by the time it gets back to the original person. And it sounds to me like that's exactly what happened here. So we had a gentleman who moved into the home, and after spending a little bit of time there, he, on his very own volition, decided that he wanted to move back to the Bay Area. He had some family down there. So he made a positive decision for himself to go back to be with his family. That's what happened on the first guy. We'll skip the second guy because that's the story that you're really asking me about. Mm-hmm. And then we had our first lady resident move in a couple of weeks ago. And she simply was there for one day, and she had a change of heart and wanted to move back in with her family. So I certainly understand, you know, wanting to be with your family and your loved ones and stuff like that. She just didn't want to move in. And so she went back the very next day to her family. And now the third guy is what you're talking about. And I can simplify this in these terms. During the admission process, the admissions department had discovered that he did not meet a couple of very crucial qualifications for him to be admitted to the home. So they had to reverse the situation. And he wasn't kicked out. He wasn't even officially all the way moved in yet. He was in the process of it during that particular day. So as far as his belongings go, I'm not sure what he's done with his belongings. We made sure he had plenty of items like a bed and a television and some food and some clothing and some blankets. We made sure he was completely prepared for life when he went back to his place of residence where he came from. And that's what happened there.
Okay.
And it's not uncommon for things to change. I wouldn't believe the last time somebody will move in and move out. People just have a change of heart.
Yeah, you would think like the lady, I mean, I understand wanting to be with the family, but they went through the whole process to get put into the home and then decide the day of or day after that, nope, this isn't going to work for me.
It's like buyer's remorse when you buy a vehicle. 2 or 3 days later, you might not like that vehicle and you want to go, you know, change it back in. So it's all positive. It's all positive incidents, really. And I wouldn't expect that to be the last case of somebody moving in and then changing their mind and wanting to move out. And that's perfectly okay, especially on the RCFE, the Residential Care for the Elderly side. That's assisted living, and they can come and go as they please. They live there. That's their home. There's no restrictions. They can have a car and just live their life there. On the other side of the building is our skilled nursing facility, which is not yet opened, and it will later on in the spring, summertime.
Oh, okay. Yeah, before we get there and explain why certain things aren't available and stuff, let's stick on the resident. You know, how do they get on the list? I know that's another misperception out there is how it's determined which veterans get to be in the home and which not? I know there's like a point system or something.
There is. There is an official application on the CalVet website. If you go to calvet.ca.gov and then click on Vet Homes on one of the tabs up at the top, and you can go right to the Reading home and select and see a picture of the photo gallery there of the home. But there's also an application for admission there. And a lot of the questions that most people would have would be answered in that application, because it's a pretty extensive application. As far as the points go, that would be a better spoken to by our admission staff. You can call our admission staff out there. Donna Mackey, she has a group of very talented individuals that are going through applications as quickly as we get them. We've gotten over 243 applications. And one of the things that is really important for most people to know is if we are not able to provide a level of care that a veteran needs, then we cannot admit them because we can't take care of them.
Right. So, and right now there's only the one wing that's open.
That is true, but we're branching out into the second one here real soon.
Oh.
They're filling up the Shasta neighborhood. They call them a neighborhood. Shasta neighborhood is filling up, and I believe it's the Lassen neighborhood that's going to open up next. So the process is rolling. The ball is rolling. Another thing that's really important for people to realize, if you've been to the facility, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, let me explain. This place is quite large. It's on 27 acres. There's five different neighborhoods. There's three different kitchens. There's a warehouse. There's a loading dock. There's a central utility plant. And this facility is a functioning structure. It's a plant. So there has been questions of people going, well, the place has been completed for over a year and a half. Well, it takes time to make sure that the building functions properly. And I'm talking about water, electricity, fire alarms, safety related issues and stuff like that. So that could contribute to the, you know, we opened up in October. That could contribute a little bit to why we're not just massively filling up so fast. We want to make sure that the place is functional the way it should be from safety regulations and things of that nature.
Well, and you also have to have the staff to take care of the amount of residents, because I do know the last time I was out there, you're not fully staffed yet.
That is correct. We have plenty of jobs available out there, and they range from custodians to groundskeepers to registered nurses, licensed vocational nurses. CNAs is one of the things that we'll talk about here in a minute, because I'm really focused on that right now. But yeah, that's right. We have to be able to have the people in the right positions to take care for the residents that are moving in. And that's just a small part of it right now. We've gotten lots of applications. Many we were not able to accept because we don't provide that level of care. And it just goes on and on from there. And we're on a community outreach program from Sacramento all the way to the Oregon border to reach out to all these veterans communities and let them know there's benefits available to them out there that they may not know about. So we are out there asking for applications for the home. The application is online on our website, which I gave you earlier. And then, of course, the flip side of that are the jobs that you just spoke about. Mm-hmm. And I'm specifically focused on a couple of positions right now. One of them is certified nursing assistants. We have a great call for certified nursing assistants. And the misconception of working for a state or an agency such as the Veterans Home out there on Knighton Road is a lot of people believe they see the job posting and they just stop by and drop off their application or their resume. And that's really not how the process works. In order to get a job with the state, any government agency for that matter, you have to take an examination or a test. You have to get on a certification or an eligibility list. And then once you are eligible, you can apply for that classification of job that you are interested in. And it's a daunting process getting qualified candidates to come through the system. A lot of people don't know how that process works. So I've been going around over the last month, and we'll continue to do so until we get the place fully filled up, and giving little seminars on how to navigate the state website, how to find the exam you're interested in, how to find the job you're interested in, all the tricks and the tips that go with navigating through that website, because it is a little difficult. Even for people who have college educations, I've had phone calls from them. They call and say, you know, this is really, really confusing, and I can see where it could be.
Yeah.
But once you learn the system and how to navigate through the process, it's actually quite simple. So I'm out there explaining, sharing, teaching, and helping people get a job, because we got lots of them. There's going to be, I don't know the exact number of how many people work there now. I think it's somewhere around 80. It might be between 80 and 90. But when we're all done, there's going to be positions for 250 people. That's a lot. And
that is a lot.
If there,
how many beds we have out there? 150?
150, yep.
Yeah, yeah, so that's a lot of different residents to take care of. And it's not just single residents. We were talking earlier that possibly husband and wife at the same time could be in the home.
Absolutely correct.
You can
be, if you're a veteran and you have a spouse and you would like him or her to move in with you, we welcome that.
Yeah, and I believe, what do we have out there now, 17?
I think it's 17 as of yesterday.
Yeah, and these residents that are in there now, they don't have to have as much attention or medical as what's going to happen further down the road. Isn't that correct?
That is correct. The residential care for the elderly side of the facility is an assisted living. It's very minimal care that these folks need. So, like I said earlier, they can have their own vehicle. They can come and go as they please. They can roam around the whole facility. It's like their home, and they can do, you know, all the things that you would want to do at home.
All right. With that, I think we got to go break. When we get back, I want to touch again a little bit on the application process, because I know there's a little bit of misinformation about pay grade and how it works within
sure.
the system. So with that, we'll go to a break. This is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
The degree to which we enjoy good health, vitality, and freedom from pain and suffering is directly related to the level of responsibility we're willing to assume for our bodies and our lives. Hi, I'm Nancy Sutton Pierce, host of the Conscious Living Show every Saturday, KCNR1460.com. My show is about helping you uncover your authentic self, discussing health, laughter, love, truth, sex, and so much more. We awaken to who we really are and why we're here, then life improves. Bon Jovi says, I'm going to live while I'm alive. Are you? Tune in every Saturday, 11 to noon, KCNR 1460, streaming live, KCNR1460.com. My website, ConsciousLivingYoga.com, will give you more information. The Conscious Living Show is proudly sponsored by Orchard Nutrition Center, Gorilla Bites, and Fields Jewelers.
Hello, this is Dr. Todd Royce, your downtown Reading chiropractor. Join me every second Saturday at 10 a.m. for Positively Healthy Radio. We discuss almost any health topic you can think of from a different point of view than a pill for every ill and a potion for every emotion. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Would you like to have more energy? Would you like to avoid the headaches, sicknesses, infections, and diseases that so many are seeming to get? We talk about all those topics and more every second Saturday. Join us at 10 a.m. on 1460 KCNR.
Be the People and Sovereign Minds want to invite you to the second annual banquet and fundraiser for Conservative Talk Radio at Wind River Casino on March 8th. Doors open at 4:30, dinner is at 6:30. There will be an auction, raffle, and a dessert auction with dinner. For more information, contact Patrick Jones at 530-222-3223 or Linda Kent at 221-0101. Wind River Casino, March 8th, 2014. Thank you for your support.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
So close, no matter how far, couldn't be much more from the heart. Forever trusting who we are, and nothing else matters. Never open.
helping myself this way. Life is ours, we live it our way. All these words I don't just say.
Back, Sovereign Mind Radio. That was Metallica.
That was good stuff.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
I like that.
Yeah, anyway.
We just kind of all spaced out there for a little bit listening to that, you know? Okay, we're back. And before we went to the break, we were talking about getting a job and applications out at the Veterans Home. And I wanted you to kind of go over the pay scale and how it works out there. I think some people have some misinformation about how it works.
Sure. I can let you know right now if there's any specific job that we have available and you are interested in it, that it's listed on our webpage. It tells you on the job announcement what the pay scale is. It gives you a starting pay grade, and it will give you an ending pay grade, meaning when you're at the top of your pay scale, that's where you end. And it's usually approximately about a 5% increase per year, based on your employment evaluation and your performance reviews that everybody gets, and your probation. You know, like I was on a 6-month probation, which is coming up here real soon. So that my report on how I've performed in those 6 months will determine whether or not I get that 5% increase or whatever the increase is. So there's a starting pay raise, pay scale, and then there's an ending pay scale, and they're very clearly identified on all the job announcements. We're going to talk a little bit about the admissions process in a minute, because I know that you had a question about that. But I do want to focus on the jobs that are available and out there right now. And for those of you who are looking for work and the system, if you've gone on to jobs.ca.gov, which is the California State Personnel Board job website, and all state agencies funnel into that same website, whether it's CalVet, Caltrans, Department of Fish and Wildlife, the Motor Vehicles Department, whatever it is. So the systems for hiring are the same throughout the state. You have to apply with a standard form 678, which essentially is your resume transferred over to the state paperwork. Because you have HR professionals down in Sacramento, and they're looking at jobs, and they're looking at applications, and they are familiar with this Form 678, and they know right what to look for on that. And it's a lot easier of getting that information rather than going through 1,000 different resume styles of people who just submit a resume. So that's why they use the 678. And you have to use that form to apply for an exam or a test, and you have to use the same form to apply for a job.
Oh, okay. So, and if they have any questions or anything, they can always call out there to the home and talk with you or somebody to help.
Yeah, just call me. I meet with people on a daily basis, on an individual basis. I've gone out and done seminars. We were at the Vets Hall last week for their little resource fair that they did. We're going to the unemployment department on Wednesday of this week from 9 until noon to give that same seminar. And we've been to the Smart Center a week and a half ago doing the same thing.
What kind of jobs are available out there?
Yeah.
Right now, I personally am focused on finding CNAs, registered nurses, food staff, food service technicians, and things of that nature. And for our skilled nursing facility, which will open up later on this year, we are looking for an administrator for the skilled nursing facility, which is a really important job to have. I mean, you're not going to get your license until you have somebody who is a skilled nursing facility administrator on staff. So we're looking very heavily for those right there. But all the jobs that are listed on the webpage right now are what we have. I mean, I can guess at a few. There's custodians. We just hired a couple of automotive equipment operators and drivers, because we do transport for our veterans in the home if they have a doctor's appointment in town. We have drivers who will take them there. If they need to go shopping, we will take them there, whatever it takes. So custodians, groundskeepers, you know, the jobs just range. It's a wide range. It's a big spectrum of what we have. And you can see all of them that are listed right now at calvet.ca.gov.
Yeah, and you said there was about 80 on staff, or approximately 80 right now, and there's positions altogether for like 250, I believe, somewhere right in there.
When we're all said and done and fully ramped up, it will be 250, give or take a few. The needs could change as we progress and as we grow a little bit. We might need more positions. We might need a few less. There's no way of knowing that until we get through the complete hiring process and opening up both sides of the home.
So that's quite a few positions that are available to the people in the community that can go on there and maybe get a job.
Absolutely. Veterans are encouraged to apply as well, and we're going to be speaking at the unemployment office on Wednesday to a group of veterans and showing them the process. There's very specific steps that need to be taken in order for someone to become eligible for employment, and most people don't know that. So we're very excited about sharing that information and teaching people how to go through the process, because that will just up our level of applications and allow us to find some quality candidates to do the jobs that we need done out there.
All right. That's nice. Then we want to kind of touch on the admissions part too.
Sure.
Getting them into the home. Where are they coming from? You know, I get a lot of people in the community say, well, they're taking all the applicants for the residences, you know, from Southern California, they're not locally. Why are they doing that? Can you kind of touch on that
Sure. And
explain that to the people why, if that is the case, why that might be the case?
The reason for that is this is a veterans home of California. Any veteran who lives in the city of, or I'm sorry, in the state of California is eligible to apply for the Redding home. They're also, if they live in Redding, they would be eligible to be admitted to and apply for the West Los Angeles home if they have family and they're moving down there.
Right.
Or the Chula Vista home or the Barstow or Fresno. And Fresno's having a lot of the same, I call them growing pains. Baby.
Yes, because they just opened up not just a little bit before we did in Redding.
That's right. Yeah, 1 week before. So they need a level of care of people who do CNA type work and things like that. So they're in the same boat that we are in. But to get back to your original question, it is a veterans home of California. If you are a veteran and you live in California, you are welcome to apply. Nobody from any particular city is going to get any more preference because they're closer. They live in Redding or they live in Sacramento or wherever it happens to be.
So do they look at, you know, how they come in? Is that... And then they go down from there. I say you were one of the first ones that apply. You would be at the top of the list to get in, or how does that work?
Well, they evaluate applications as they come into the mail. So like our first resident probably was the first one to apply, and he had, you know, based on their scoring system when they evaluated, and I really don't know all the ins and outs in that, but our admissions director, Donna Mackey, could speak much better on the process and the veterans points and things of that nature, but they review applications in order as they get them, and as they review them and they find a qualified veteran who meets all the criteria for admission, they'll say, okay, you're next.
Okay. That could be anybody from anywhere. And I do know, is it true that if they're already a resident like in Barstow that they can transfer? It's easier for them to transfer to like to the Redding home?
Anyone who is in another Veterans Home of California can request transfer. They have to provide the exact same admission application. And I believe the ratio of transfers is once we move in 8 residents, we can do a transfer. And
okay.
Then it will have to be 8 residents again before we can do another transfer.
Okay.
So we encourage transfer people, and we have a lot of transfer applications, too. And one of our first transfers just took place last week.
Oh, nice.
He came from Yountville.
Oh. Does he have family up here? Is why he transferred up here?
I believe he does.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice to bring him closer to his family.
So it's important for everyone to remember this is a veterans home of California. It's just located in Redding. It's not a veterans home of Redding. the whole state. It's a statewide.
Okay. Thing. There's another thing I would like to talk about is when people want to come visit the veterans that are the residents right now and there. What's the process? I mean, there's a lot of different things that are going that you got to go through this screening and that screening.
I was going to say we probably need to take a break real quick and then come on back with the answer to that question.
Okay. This is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Good health in Reading for over 30 years is Orchard Nutrition. You'll love Orchard's in-store deli featuring no-nitrate meats and fresh roasted beef from the local Lazy 69 Ranch. Try their bakery fresh bread, and of course, there's organic produce washed in Orchard's purified water. A part of the Reading community for over 30 years, family-owned and operated for three generations, Orchard Nutrition is far more than a health food store. They're the North State Nutrition experts. Orchard Nutrition, 221 Locust Street in Reading.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. My wife Kathy and I are starting to give up on winter and water. Sure hope we see some in the near future. A lot of our friends and neighbors are depending on it. We just got another load of tractor hydraulic oil in, so if you need a half gallon or a 55 gallon barrel, come on by and let us fill up your can. Johnny has a few more used kerosene heaters took in on trade, so give him a holler and he'll fix you right up. If you need to spray your deck or fences, we have log and shake oil. If you have a portable heater, we have the Clear Pearl ready to go also. Gary's been filling 5-gallon propane bottles. We just got a batch of new ones in. This February, 6th, 7th, and 8th is the Sierra Cascade Logging Conference at the Shasta District Fairgrounds in Anderson. Be sure to put it on your calendar, free to the public. Lots to see. Northern Lights Energy, 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Ladies, one of the wisest things you can do this holiday season is sign yourself up for Skinny Jeans Body Design Program coming this January. Adamson's Peak Performance has figured out the best type of training for all of our fit females in Reading and beyond. We go past mindless hours on treadmills to smart training that gets you back into your skinny jeans. And these groups are not just for the skinny. If you've ever glanced at the jeans in your closet that you used to get into, this class is for you.
Call now. Tell them Carla and Linda sent you. Adamson's Peak Performance, 221-8006.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
Two flags fly above my land and really sum up how I feel. One is the colors that fly high and proud, the red, the white, the blue. The other one's got a rattlesnake. Tread on me is what it says, and I'll take that to my grave. This is me. I'm proud to be American and strong in my belief. And I've said it before, but I'll say it again, 'cause I've never needed government to hold. Say it again, 'cause my family's always fought and died to save this land. And a country boy is all I'll ever be.
I love my country. I love my guns. I love my family. I love the way it is now. And anybody that tries to change it has to come through me. That should be all of our attitude. As this is America, And a country boy's good enough for me, son.
Yay. And we're back, and that's great. Mind. And if you were wondering, that is Aaron Lewis, I do believe.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah,
there.
He's great. Yeah. So before we went to the break, we were talking about if people want to come out and visit the residence, what they would have to go through. Can you touch
now,
on
are
that?
Now, are you talking about like family members and things like that, or what do you mean?
What? Just no, non-family. Say you want to come out, you want to do something with the veterans. A good example is like today, Super Bowl Sunday. I know that they're having a little bit of a program out there for them for that. If somebody wanted to be involved with them out there and kind of like have, sit and watch the game with them or something that's not related, what would they have to do?
Well, all they have to do is they need to get in touch with Sherry Brooks, who would be the volunteer services coordinator. She's the one that her and Mari, who is our occupational therapist, recreational, she does all the activities and stuff, and just call and talk to them and work out a day and a time that you want to come out and spend some time with the residents, and she will tell you everything that you need to know to go through that process. But they, like I said earlier, this is their home.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody just wants to come see a resident, that's quite okay. And you'll come to the gate and you'll, push the little intercom button and you say, I'm here to see whomever the resident is. They will contact that resident and say that you have a visitor, and they'll say, yes, I would like to see that visitor, or no, I don't want to see that visitor right now. I'm not feeling well or something. You just got to go through the, front gate.
Now, I know that in the neighborhoods, there's kitchens. If somebody wanted to come in and cook a meal or something for one of the residents, is that a possibility?
There is a specific dining room for every neighborhood in addition to our master dining hall.
Mm-hmm.
And our veterans, that really is like their kitchen. If they want to go out and get some items to, like one of our guys likes to make muffins, and he has free access to that kitchen. If they're having, if one of our veterans is having a birthday, their family can come in and use that dining room kitchen. And they can have a bunch of family members come and use the kitchen and put on a little birthday party or a dinner if they want to.
So if somebody out of the community wanted to, like, bake a birthday cake for one of the residents, it was their birthday, could they come in the kitchen and prepare the cake right there, or do they have to buy it at a store and bring it in?
All the specific pieces of information that go along with that, with, of course, rules and regulations and safety and stuff like that, would go through Sherry Brooks, and she can answer all of those questions specifically.
And do you know the number that they could call?
Yes.
Sherry at?
It's 224-3300, and just ask for Sherry Brooks. And, when it comes to resident applications, or more specifically job applications and learning how to go through that job process system, you can call that same number and ask for me. Or you can just call my direct line to my desk, which is 224-3814.
All right. We're starting to wind down here. Is there anything else you want to talk about, get out there, let people know that's happening out at the Veterans Home?
Well, I do want to say that it's just one of the most exciting things that I've ever participated in from an occupational point of view, being involved with this Veterans Home. It is, people take great pride in everything that they're doing out there. And when we first put our Facebook page up, there was a lady, and I don't remember her name, or she says, these people who are working there are at the top of their game, and they really are. Whether it's doing what I do with public relations, marketing, media, and social media and things like that, all the way down to Sonia Kent, who is our nursing instructor, and Julie Payton is our supervising nurse. And everybody is truly indeed at the top of their game. It is a wonderful facility. There's been, over the years, a lot of people say, oh, you're a state agency, you don't work that hard. And I've seen that in state agencies before. And I can tell you right now, everybody in the facility at the Veterans Home in Reading is working really hard. And they're emotionally attached to their job. It's not just like an 8-to-5 thing. They are in it. They are emotionally attached with the veterans who are there. And it's just a great place to be.
Oh, that's nice. I also wanted to kind of talk about, they have like wish lists for the veterans, I know. The veterans themselves will have a wish list. And sometimes, I'm not sure if Sherry's the only one that handles that, getting the information out. Is there a way, if somebody out in the community wanted to know what was on their wish list to have, would they go through Sherry, or how would they do that?
It's either Sherry Brooks or Mari, who is the occupational therapist, recreational. They could also go through me. I get the wish list from those two ladies every week or two, and we put something up on our Facebook page and our social media sites, and that's out there for people to see what the veterans themselves are actually requesting. It could be very simple as a gift card to a coffee place or whatever. We don't allow you to, like, for instance, make a cake and drop it off. Can't do that.
It has to be store-bought, correct?
Yeah, you know, because you just never know what food allergies might be amongst the home, and you don't want to take any chances. It's a safety regulation, and, you know, we adhere to all the policies and procedures, you know, put forth by us, by the Department of Public Health and the Veteran Services, and everything that goes along with it. We follow all those rules and protocols.
Well, I know one of the items on one of the wish lists for the veterans was he likes to do photography. And he wanted, I believe it was batteries, and there was something else for his camera. It's about $600 worth of stuff.
I think it was a battery for his laptop computer, I believe, is what that was.
Was it for the laptop? Mm-hmm. And so we were trying to get out in the community and get that wish list filled so he could,
Oh, that's wonderful. And he's quite the artist. He does some amazing things. And if you're ever out there, we can show you some of his stuff. But, you know, he has a laptop that was donated to him by a veteran family, and that worked out really good for his artwork that he likes to do. But it was a used laptop, and the battery is, you know, ran its life out. So he just needed a replacement
that
battery.
That's with all. Them, yeah. And unfortunately, that is something that they have to be able to get out of the community or from different groups that help with it. That's not something the home
correct
can supply out of their funds.
You know, there's lots of support out there. There, of course, is the support committee, which you are a part of.
That's correct.
That does amazing and wonderful things for our veterans out there. And everything that you guys do as a support committee goes directly to the veterans themselves. It's not something for the home. It's for the veteran. We had a veteran recently. His name is Lou. And I think it's Lombini. He donated a pool table last week. And he is a U.S. veteran. He's served in the Army, and he had a pool table, and the guys just love the pool table.
Well, I know there for a bit that we had three pianos that were being donated, and we were trying to figure out where to put them and how to get them there and things like that. Three grand pianos.
Yeah, that's still in the works, I believe. There are things that our Chief of Plant Operations, Nick Ackley, is responsible for making sure that anything that is donated and comes into the home, such as a pool table, we also have a foosball table that was donated, but pianos and stuff, they have to be UVL rated for fire code. So we have to make sure that everything is rated as, there's a lot of regulations that we have to follow.
Yeah, I know. That the fire code one just really got me on the pianos and stuff. It's like, really?
I know.
You know.
I agree with you. And a piano would be a beautiful thing, especially because I'm sure there's people out there who know how to play it. So I think they're still working on those things. And it's just a wonderful place for our veterans.
If you haven't been out there, the home is beautiful. It is absolutely gorgeous. And if you're interested in being on the support committee, give me a call at 221-0101, and I'll let you know date and time. The support committee is it's a group of us that sit out there at the veterans' home that kind of oversees what's going on.
Yes.
And we do have funds available that's come to us from the community to help the veterans or the home if they need particular items or anything, then we take a vote and decide whether they can get that or if there's something else that we can do to help the veterans out. So they're not doing without, because, I mean, one of the requests was clocks. Nobody thought about no clocks being there so that they could tell time.
Yeah.
You know, things like
that.
It's
not a bar. We want to have clocks in there.
You know.
Well, we're just about out of time, guys. Did we have a guest next week?
Next week we have Kate Graves out of Weaverville. And we're going to be talking about what's going on with their board of supervisors up there.
All right, from Trinity County. We want to thank our guest, too, Gary Moore.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate
you coming in.
Thank you.
I'll come back every couple of months for an update if you like.
Oh, that would be great.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. Keep stacking and storing out there, guys. It's going to get worse.
This is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
All right, thanks, Gary. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Linda. Don Shulman at his new time coming your way next here on KCNR Shasta Redding.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. President Obama's top aide says any immigration deal has to include a way for those who are living in the country illegally to earn citizenship. White House Chief of Staff Dennis McDonough talked to NBC and CBS today, saying, quote, we should not have two classes of people in this country. But Republican Congressman Paul Ryan tells ABC he doubts the House will pass any immigration measure because Republicans simply don't trust the president at this point. Mr. Obama is set to meet with House and Senate Democrats this week. SRN's Linda Kenyon has a preview of that.
The president will host House Democrats on Tuesday for a roundtable discussion at the White House. He'll meet with Senate Democrats on Wednesday at Nationals Park in Washington, D.C. That's where the senators will be holding their annual retreat. These meetings come in advance of what is expected to be a tough midterm election season. And as Democrats try to maintain control of the Senate, control of the House is considered a long shot, although Democrats are